Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is Alan Sliwa, host of the Lakers pre- and post-game, Lakers Talk and the Sliwa Show. I'm here with Brad Wallace, one of the top personal injury trial lawyers in the game. Brad, tell our listeners why they need to call the Wallace Firm when they get hurt.
Alan, I'll put my courtroom record up against any other lawyer on the radio. We focus on getting our clients top results. You won't see my face on billboards and won't hear me play an annoying jingle. If you get injured, you need a real trial lawyer, not a marketing guy.
Call the Wallace Firm now, 844-844-WINS, or visit at WallaceWins.com today.
But you see what I'm talking about? I counted 13 Los Angeleses in that 15-second promo.
I counted only 12, man.
All right, so Magic Johnson was on First Take today. Man, God bless The Last Dance. The Last Dance has had some... First of all, it's just great content. It really is. And to get those backstories... I mentioned it when I just started the show... The Kobe Bryant portion, unbelievable. And to just get all these little nuggets that you want to walk away from these documentaries, kind of in a sense, learning something different. You feel like, oh, okay, I know that Bulls era. Of course, that basketball was going on with the Lakers. It was Eddie Jones, Nick Van Exel, Cedric Ceballos, and it was those types of players until Kobe and Shaq came in 96. Oh, I know what's going on. The reality is I'm watching these documentaries. I'm like, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. That's fantastic to learn. Magic on First Take a little bit earlier today was talking about how it was Jordan's run in the 90s and just kind of compared how everybody had his era.
First of all, the scrimmage was the greatest basketball that we all had ever played in because of the fact that every player on the team was a Hall of Famer, an all-star in their own right. And also we had big egos. So we were playing for our ego. We were playing to let guys know that, hey, I'm the best at what I do and I'm going to go head-to-head against you. So it was amazing to see Charles Barkley go at his friend Karl Malone and Karl Malone go at Charles. Patrick Ewing against David Robinson. I mean, on and on and on. It made it so amazing. And Chuck Daly was the perfect coach for it. And Max, it was really funny. So we got out on them about 10, 12 points, you know. And so, you know, I had to make Michael go to the Air Jordan level. So I said, okay, I'm going to go over here and talk a little trash to him and see what's going to happen, right? And this is when the torch got passed. So I said, look, MJ, if you don't turn into Air Jordan, we're going to blow you guys out. Max, I've never seen a man take something so personal and then go out there and just take that scrimmage over. It was amazing to see him come out and just dominate. And I'm talking about dominate the best in the game. And that's when we knew that the torch was being passed from myself and Larry onto Michael.
All right, that's Magic Johnson right there on First Take. So a couple things I get from that. Magic had another clip a little bit earlier that talked about how, you know, everyone got their run. Everyone got their opportunity. Think about in the 80s. All right, in the 80s, the championships were spread out, sort of, right? Lakers got five of them, but Sixers still got a championship. Pistons were winning. The Celtics obviously got their share. It was spread around amongst a few different teams. And when Magic says, we knew that torch was being passed, and I actually don't even think anything was being passed. I think Michael Jordan was grabbing that torch and had kind of gone through those ups and downs. He had gone through those losing moments, so now this was his opportunity. And everybody has gone through the losing. Magic might be the only player that didn't have to go through losing before he won his first championship. Magic came in as a rookie against the Philadelphia 76ers. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is out in Game 6. Lakers are up 3-2 in 1980. He goes to Philadelphia. What does he tell his team on the team plane? Nothing to fear, 32 is here, and he sits in the captain Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's chair and suits up at center and puts up 40 plus and has 15 rebounds and brings the Lakers to their first championship under the Dr. Jerry Buss era, he might be the first one that had that ability to do that without, you know, going through some of the losses. Now, that doesn't mean Magic didn't lose to the Celtics to then eventually find a way to beat the Boston Celtics. But that era in the 80s, there was a few teams that the championship was spread around. In the 90s, it was Jordan's era. I mean, I don't know what more you want me to tell you. The only time Jordan did not win championships in the 90s is when he went to go play baseball for 18 months. And when he decided to retire for the first time after that 98 championship. That's the only time he shared championships. Other than that, it was all Michael Jordan. And I find that part to be funny. Here's another clip I want to play from Magic. This is Magic on the Jerry Krause portion of this whole thing. So listen, I'm waiting for more information to come out on Jerry Krause because I know the finger is pointed directly at Jerry Krause, and it's fair to do so, but there's got to be more to the story. So I think in these last four episodes, we're going to get more of it. But let's just say Magic was not afraid to state his opinion when it came to Jerry Krause and specifically destroying that Bulls dynasty.
Well, I think that Krause just destroyed a dynasty. I think if they were able to keep the team together, give Scottie Pippen his money, keep Michael happy, because he was very happy with Scottie and with Phil Jackson as the coach, and he knew he had great role players around him, they would have probably won 10, 11, 12 championships. You know, they had that type of run in them. But when you start making the superstars unhappy and thinking that management is more important than the guys that play on the basketball court, then he got a chance to see that was a huge mistake. And Michael Jordan said, oh, you just treat me like I'm just, you can win basketball games without me? Well, I'm going to show you that you can. And so he retired that first time, and the Bulls didn't win a championship. So he came back after winning three straight. He came back. Michael won three more straight championships, and then he was able to just leave the franchise. So the franchise has never been the same since. I think Derrick Rose brought a lot of excitement, but he wasn't able to bring the championships to Chicago like Michael Jordan was able to do. And so I think that really hurt the franchise even today. And then look at Michael Jordan's legacy and what he's meant to not just the game of basketball, but to the world. I mean, he should be even bigger in Chicago than he is. If he had been able to retire as a Bull, that would have been just special for the city and for the fans there, instead of him even going and playing for the Wizards for what, that year. And so I think they made a huge mistake, and they found out who had the real power, whether that's the owner and the general manager or the superstar athlete and player in Michael Jordan. And Michael Jordan showed him he had the power.
That does make you appreciate that Kobe never rocked another jersey. He played with two jerseys in his career, number 8 and number 24, but the colors never changed. They were always the purple and gold. And that does make you kind of appreciate that.
Alan, can you imagine Jerry Buss saying, you know, Pat Riley, you're not coming back after winning these two championships. Sorry, man. You know, we're going to move on.
Funches, that's why I got to figure out what these last four episodes, I really hope there's more in depth about what happened and why that relationship was so scarred.
Or even
right?
Just like, or even just Jerry West telling James Worthy, you know what? We're about to trade you. You know, we're not going to pay you the money, right?
Unbelievable. I mean, honestly, unbelievable. Jerry Reinsdorf, this is Jerry Krause answered to Jerry Reinsdorf. There's got to be more, Funches. There has to be.
Yeah, you know, I'm wondering why Reinsdorf doesn't get more flack for it.
He should. That's what I was saying, right? You know, that episode one, episode two, when that first came out and everybody was on Jerry Krause. I'm like, that's not the owner. That's the GM. The owner writes the checks. Why is the owner – remember the owner in 98, the owner Jerry Reinsdorf said in the documentary, he had to travel wherever Phil was living. He went and negotiated Phil's deal, his final year.
Yeah.
I think a $6 million deal, 1-year deal. And then Jerry Krause kept coming out after that saying, that's it, he's gone after this. I mean, here you are winning championships. Here you are, and you have this dynasty. This is the one thing Jordan has emphasized.
This is why teams play. This is why teams play basketball. Yeah, the only reason to win championships.
Competition, right? Competition for all these, whether it's soccer, football, hockey, baseball. This is the only thing your hope is to win. They were winning so much that it ruined them. You know, they say, like, typically great companies or countries, the most powerful countries, the most powerful businesses, you know how they end up losing funches?
No.
From within. Right? Like,
yeah,
it's not somebody else that beat them. That's the one thing Jordan and the Bulls, and Jordan was saying this so much in the documentary earlier on, not in these last couple of episodes. He said, we have the right to defend what is ours until somebody takes it from us. But to have ownership take it away, that's a different type of challenge. You can't win that one. You can't win that battle. But this is why I keep going back to this. By the way, Jerry Krause made some unbelievable moves in his role. He traded for Scottie Pippen. He brought Phil Jackson. Phil Jackson was a part. Remember, he was an assistant coach. He fired Doug Collins and brought Phil Jackson to become the head coach of the Chicago Bulls.
Got Robin and coach too.
He made some great, unbelievable moves. So the question comes back to this. What happened to get that far where you had won six championships in 8 years that you decided, no, I want to rebuild this whole thing? Ego, my friend. Ego. All right, we got Shootout coming up next. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Stay right here. Lakers Talk. By the way, just a quick reminder, at 8:30, Jeff Zilgit, USA Today, Jordan and Kobe relationship, make the last dance an emotional episode. So he'll come up in a little bit. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. Funches, how we doing, brother?
Good, man. A little lonely here, but, you know, still here.
Okay, so I think you gave me an update. Did Starbucks open downstairs?
Starbucks opened downstairs for the first time since, you know, everything went down here, you know, LA Live. It was kind of cool passing by the store, and then, like, a bunch of the workers inside are just waving at me profusely because they haven't seen people either, you know?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it's different, too. You know, LA Live is such a unique setting, right? Like, LA Live is built for guests at the hotel.
Yeah.
LA Live is built. Those restaurants are built for all the events at Staples Center. Just the downtown business. If all that's not there, I don't know who's going to come in. And I don't know how many people. Are you seeing a lot of, not just ESPN, but like AEG, Herbalife? Do you see a lot of other employees?
I really
or not
don't,
really?
Man. You know, yeah. Like, I come in, you know, usually when I came in, you know, before everything happened, like, you know, I'm walking into a busy building. There's 1,000 people in the elevators with me while I'm going up. And it's just been me walking in the building and me in the elevator alone and just me and the security guards.
Well, when I was still doing shows from the studio, Starbucks had already closed. The hotel was, I think the hotel had just closed. Mm-hmm. So at least, okay, we're seeing a little bit of life with Starbucks.
Yeah, it is. I just wished I could have went inside and gave them some business. I would have, if I would have known that it were going to be open, I would have came here 15 minutes earlier.
Well, when I'm back in LA Live, they'll be good. I'll be giving 30% of my paycheck, as always, to Starbucks and Illy. That's where most of my investment goes. All right, let's get some Shootout started. All right, just a reminder, Shootout presented by the Wallace Firm. Call my guy Brad Wallace and the Wallace Firm, 844-844-WINS, for a free consultation and review of your policy to see if you are eligible for compensation for lost revenue. If you are a small business owner out there, a business owner in LA, see if they can help you. 844-844-WINS or visit wallacewins.com. Let's do this, Funches. What do you got?
He'll get after it on the defensive end, and we'll get after it as well.
Thank you, Sedano.
Thank you, George. Thanks, bud. He's got a show tomorrow. He's still chiming into this show. Thank you, George.
Hold up here. Let me just get my Word document open.
Get the Word open. Don't worry. I could buy some time here.
No, I got it.
Okay.
Okay, so the rumors still go on as Brooklyn Nets general manager Sean Marks was interviewed by a New Zealand newspaper when he was asked about the availability of Kevin Durant once the season starts again. Now, he said that That's a $110 million question. In all seriousness, we've tried not to talk about his timeline a lot. He knows his body better than anyone. When the timing is right, he'll be 100% when he gets on the court. I can tell you this, though. Before the pandemic, he looked like Kevin Durant, and that's a good thing. Now, currently, the Brooklyn Nets are number 7 in the East if the playoffs started today. Is this something the Nets should seriously consider once this thing's over, or once the season starts again?
Funch, do you know who's in the second place of the Eastern Conference? I do know, but I just want to check if you don't.
Ooh, not Milwaukee. Boston, huh?
I think it's Toronto.
Toronto, yes, it is Toronto. Okay. Yeah, you're right, you're right.
Okay, so let me play this out for you. What if in round one of the Eastern Conference playoffs, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving are both playing for the... Would Kyrie be back as well?
I'm assuming so. I'm assuming if Kevin Durant comes back, Kyrie has to come back.
Okay, so let's say those two guys are both playing. And you have the Toronto Raptors in the first round, which, listen, Raptors have been really, really nice to watch this year. They play fantastic team ball. Kawhi Leonard's not there, but guys like Pascal Siakam, you know, stepped up. Kyle Lowry, we just kind of go down the list. Fred VanVleet, another one. You don't think that if KD and Kyrie are playing, two guys that have three championships in, between them and definitely are not afraid of the moment, you don't think Toronto's going to be sitting there saying, are you kidding me? This is who we got to play in the first round? Listen, Funch, I don't know how healthy those two are, but you got a series if those two are able to play.
Yeah.
You know what else you have? You have a team that could very well make it to the Eastern Conference Finals and take on the Bucks.
I agree. I mean, the outside of the Bucks, the East is wide open. And I think Brooklyn, if they had Kyrie, they had Kevin Durant, they can easily just swoop in and just take the East if they want
it. Look, the East is wide open, number one. Number two, even those, there's teams out there like the Miami Heat, the Boston Celtics, that think, you know what, we could hang with the Milwaukee Bucks in a 7-game set. Now, whether they can or not, we'll have to wait and see. But it's not like everybody was playing. Everyone's in tip-top shape. Everyone's got their form good. There's unbelievable chemistry. If Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving came back for Brooklyn, they're kind of coming back the same way everybody else is. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Just out of nowhere, it's going to be probably, what are we, already 7 weeks canceled or postponed? It's going to, at minimum, be another month, right? So you're going to say almost 3 months for everybody without live play.
Yeah. And
what, I think they could do it.
I think they can do it. I think they should try to do it. Like I said, the East is wide open outside of Milwaukee, and once you face Milwaukee, you never know. You might have a puncher's chance. Milwaukee hasn't seen KD. They haven't seen Kyrie this whole year, so they won't be prepared for them.
Well, I just go back to this. The Eastern Conference, there's some good players. There's some good teams. But damn, KD and you know, Kyrie, those are some legitimate superstars. Of course, KD being the main one.
It's Jorge Sedano again. Wow.
That's really George right there.
Yeah, that really is Jorge Sedano.
What is he doing? What gives you that reaction?
It sounds like he's laughing at something.
Okay. All right, let's keep going.
All right, Wizards guard John Wall was on the All the Smoke podcast with Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson when he was asked about coming back from his...
By the way, I got to pause you for a second.
What's that?
Quick shout out. Had Matt Barnes on last week.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
Okay, and Funches, you and I have always kind of talked about, like, man, it's pretty damn impressive what they've done with this podcast.
Man, it's like one of my favorite podcasts, like, right now.
I'm with you.
Yeah, like,
I'm with you.
Anything I want to listen to is on that podcast.
I didn't ask one question other than, like, tell me about the podcast. Okay, how did you get, why do you think it's doing so well? How come the connections with the players are this? How did you guys, where the concept come from? Like, I loved the whole thing, so it was cool to have Matt Barnes, and it was great to hear how they got the whole podcast started. So just a quick shout out there. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, you know, John Wall was asked about, you know, coming back from his injury on the podcast, and he said this, I'm going to be better than I was before, and that's the scary part. Darren near the whole 5 years, I was an all-star, and I played with two bone spurs in my knee and my heel. People don't know that. They ain't even got the best of John Wall yet. They just got a clip of him. Now, Wall has not played a game since December 29th, 2018. And has been out after tearing his Achilles at home while out, you know, with another injury. Now, Wall is still only 29 years old. Now, Allen, are you confident Wall can make a return?
He'll make a return, but I'm not sold on John Wall. You know, like I'm not. First of all, I think it's a combination of a couple things. John Wall is a perfect example that if a good player goes to the wrong organization, it's just unfortunate, right? Like, here's another example, and I don't know if this is a perfect comp, but it's like Devin Booker going to the Phoenix Suns. It's just unfortunate that that good of a player is on that bad of a team and that bad of an organization. So I don't have confidence in the Wizards. I don't have confidence in the Suns that those organizations are going to turn things around because they've never shown me that they would. So when you say John Wall, you know what I'm thinking in my mind? I'm thinking John Wall, how are you now going to hang in the Eastern Conference? The Bucks are a good team. The Boston Celtics are obviously on the come up. The Miami Heat are all of a sudden a solid team. Brooklyn, we saw what they just did. What teams am I missing? Toronto won a championship last season. I can kind of go down the list of the teams that are making some noise in the East. Philadelphia is another young team. I just it doesn't do it for me. I think what Washington will probably end up doing is trading one of those assets away because there's nothing there that you think they're going to be competing in the Eastern Conference.
Well, I got a little bit of confidence in John Wall. I mean, he's only 29 years old, but the scary thing about
all this.
I'll
take Bradley Beal. Can they trade Bradley Beal?
They can trade Bradley Beal. He just signed a massive contract like a year ago, though. But I don't know if he's going to be worth the contract to trade or whatever. But, you know, the scary thing about John Wall, and this might go against him, is that his game is predicated on speed and his athleticism, and that goes away once you tear your Achilles, Allen. Like that,
right? So what's your other?
He didn't have a reliable jump shot. He didn't have the John Stockton passing game or whatever. So it's kind of hard to see what he can give us.
What he's going to rely on?
Exactly.
Yeah, I'll say this on John Wall. I need to see it to believe it. You know, so I'm a man of faith, but sometimes you got to see it. I got to see it from John Wall.
Yeah, I got to see it too. And I mean, even if he comes back, like, at 70%, he's still better than most of the point guards in the league.
But here's the thing. Like, this is what I'm referring to when we talk about players like John Wall. It's all great and dandy. Fine. That's awesome that he's a good individual player. Who cares? You know, like, at the end of the day, you're either helping your team win or you're not. And one of the things that John Wall – this works against him. If John Wall was on the Toronto Raptors, if he was on the Boston Celtics, if he was on the San Antonio Spurs, we'd get a different John Wall.
Very
he's
true.
On the Washington Wizards.
Very true. I know. If he was with the San Antonio Spurs, I have no doubt.
If he was on the San Antonio Spurs, the way they would use him, the way he would learn the game better, the way he would naturally have confidence to play more team basketball, they're just not going to do that in Washington.
Yeah,
you know,
it's true.
It's very simple that if you're trying to win with individuals in the league, it's just not going to happen. Even the great Michael Jordan, who was taught in that 91 playoffs, Paxson's freaking open, pass him the ball. He started passing the ball. If you don't do it as a team, you're not going
to
do it.
And he went to the Wizards and they ruined him.
There you go. It's full circle. Full circle.
You still stink, Nick fans!
It's very harsh to say Sedano to Nick fans.
George, that's not necessary.
Well, good thing
right
this is a Lakers show, so, you know.
Yeah, not necessary.
So a few hours ago, our guy Kendrick Perkins tweeted this out just very simply. Who y'all rolling with, Pascal Siakam or Paul George? I'm giving a slight edge to Siakam right now. So, Allen, if you can choose your guy right now, who you got, Siakam or Paul George? Who you rolling with?
I got to check real quick, age-wise, real quick. How old is Pascal? So Pascal's 26 years old.
Yeah. Somewhere around there.
Okay. I'm going to go a little deep on this one, okay? Pascal Siakam is one of, like, my favorite underground players in the NBA. He's not underground. Everybody knows him. Everybody knows how talented he is. But he's underground because nobody talks about him, right? Like, that style of basketball player, Siakam just kind of going about his business. By the way, you know, Kawhi Leonard, him were on the same team, and we didn't really talk that much about Siakam. Siakam has taken over kind of the role of Kawhi Leonard, and he's been incredible to watch. Paul George is a stud. And I don't think he's top 10 in the league. You know, when we talk about best duos in the NBA, and it's a conversation with Kawhi and Paul George compared to Anthony Davis and LeBron James, it's disrespectful to even have the conversation, because that's how much better AD and LeBron are than those two. And it's because Paul George kind of brings that down. And I'm sorry, I'm not trying to, you know, mess on Paul George, but I just think AD and LeBron are on different levels. Paul George is a very, very good basketball player.
Quick update. Siakam's 26. Paul George is 30.
I think that's
actually
all
just turned 30 2 days ago.
I think that's all I need. I think I'm rolling with Siakam.
And also the fact that Siakam hasn't had a major injury yet in his career. Mm-hmm. Like Paul George, you know, with that bad injury a few years ago.
If there's a stock, if Siakam is a stock and Paul George is a stock, I don't know how much higher Paul George's stock is going to go. And I really feel like Siakam's stock still has some growth.
Yeah.
That makes sense?
I
feel that.
I almost think that, you know, the playoffs that should be going on right now, Paul George would be kind of showing his worth.
This would be his moment.
This would be his moment.
And that's, listen, here's the thing. That's kind of what I'm referring to, right? Like, this technically would be Paul George's moment. That game late, last game Lakers and Clippers played on March 8th or whatever that was on that Sunday, Paul George was not unstoppable, but he was really, really good.
Yeah, yeah.
Fourth quarter came, he didn't have much of a contribution. Lakers end up winning that game by, I think, 8 or 9 points or something along those lines. I think PG is a fantastic player. I like the stock Siakam is building for himself.
Yeah, me too.
I really do.
Me too. He's already one of the 10 best players in the East already.
Okay, maybe Paul George also, said he wanted to be a Laker, and then on two different occasions did not come to the Lakers. So maybe that has something to do with it, too. Maybe
stop taking it personally.
Maybe it does.
I have zero problems talking about sex anywhere, to be honest with you.
George, I don't know if that's necessary, bro. We're just trying to keep this clean. This is a Disney-owned company. Let's keep it clean.
All right, well, speaking of Disney, so we've heard about the NBA resuming their season in a quarantine bubble, basically in one of two areas, Las Vegas or Disney World.
Well, for those who didn't listen to Windhorst about an hour ago, we'll burst that bubble.
Yeah, yeah. So two vastly different places, Alan. Now, if you were Adam Silver and all things were clear and you had these two choices in front of you, where would you want the NBA quarantine for to finish your season? Disney World or Las Vegas?
By the way, what complete opposites.
Right?
I mean, just
complete
think about
complete opposites.
Bro, that's hilarious. I never even thought about that. Disney World or Las Vegas. Okay, so I'm going to be selfish in this one. I'm going to pretend like I'm an athlete, and which one would I rather go to? Okay. Now, you also have to know my personality. Vegas is pretty incredible. Like, it really is, but it's not incredible. There's certain things about Vegas that I just don't care for anymore. Like, something that I was attracted to at age 21, I'm not attracted to, 10, 15 years later. But the restaurants in Vegas, the shows in Vegas, like, you can't beat it. Vegas is unbelievable.
I know, like, 15 years ago, like, I was not, like, into food in Vegas or the buffets or anything. That's all I can think about now.
Yeah, no, we're getting old. By the way, what's going to happen to that world?
I don't even know, man. I was talking about that with my fiance last night. I don't think they're going to have any more buffets.
I was going to say, how are you going to have a buffet? I used to always go, there's the Whole Foods in downtown.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
That food bar.
That's
right.
That's right.
That was like a thing with The Office. Some of us from the business side, some of us from the promotion side, like, we'd go down there, we'd all kind of, either drive together with cases, and you just go in this, everybody's using the same spoon. I mean, I can't even think today how that happened for so long. And now that COVID-19 came, that's obviously over. But I'll go back to my point. I have more at this stage of my life. Let's just say I'm not nearly as I like the chill much more than the party. So if they do this thing at Disney World or Disneyland or Disney World or whatever, they do that in Orlando, I think it would be better for all the players and for the entire league and for the NBA Now, Vegas, there is ideas there where they kind of shut down everything specifically. Yeah, like a space, couple blocks.
Like a couple blocks, or I think where the MGM properties are, basically.
Exactly, exactly. So maybe it's going to be a different type of Vegas, but I'm going to go to Orlando. If it's got to be one of them, it's going to go. I'm going to go Orlando, and obviously there's not going to be any fans there anyway, so it really wouldn't matter.
Well, selfishly for us, I mean, I don't even know if we'll be able to allow to go out there and cover games or anything, but, you know, Las Vegas for us, because, you know, it's closer to us, but I don't even know if they'll allow us in the bubble to cover the games.
I don't think they
anything.
Would. No, I don't think they would. You know, Funch, remember when the Lakers were in China?
Yeah.
And, you know, I was doing pre and post. I was doing it from our studio.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
All the road games that we go on, I'm doing pre and post. Now, the question would be Ireland and MT. Are they doing it or they're doing it from.
I'm assuming this day and age now, where people know we can do it away from the game, they're not going to be there doing the game.
All they want is the bare essentials, right? So they want, you know, every player, every trainer, every head count counts. So I don't know how they would do it, but I'm going Disney World. Let's go to Disney World.
I mean, yeah, I guess for Disney World, because, you know, most of the guys have families and stuff like that, but, you know, they're not going to be able to, you know. The single guys aren't going to be able to sneak their women in the Disney World bubble. I'll tell you that.
Vegas or Disney World? How funny is that, bro? That those are the two locations. It's literally like heaven or hell. that's funny.
Oh, man. All right. I love that one so much, I got to play it again.
I have zero problems talking about sex anywhere, to be honest with you.
I can play that one all day.
Clean it up, Sedano.
I can play that one all day.
We're not doing this on Lakers Talk, Sedano.
All right, so my last question. I don't know if you know, but today, Alan, is May the 4th. In other words, May the 4th be with you, as today is officially Star Wars Day. Alan, what is your favorite Star Wars film and your favorite character in the series?
I'd say The Last Jedi. Okay, that's my favorite. And I will say this: I'm not a huge Star Wars guy.
Yeah, me too. I'm not like most guys around at the station here.
No. Harrison Ford was who? Han Solo.
Yeah. Yes, Han Solo. Okay.
That's what I'd say. That's probably my favorite character. My favorite character is and listen, look, Darth Vader is Darth Vader.
Yeah.
Yoda is the man. You know, like. Obi-Wan Kenobi, but I'm gonna go with Han Solo.
I mean, it's so hard to say what my favorite character is because there are so many.
Were you big into all of them?
I'm not super huge, like, you know, Bergman and Bronstein back here, you know. But I mean, like,
how big are they into it?
Like, they're like, you know, they know everything about every movie and the minor characters, and, you know, who
are they the
them?
Ones where, like, if you they don't go, know enough about it,
yeah,
they get angry
yeah, and
at
and
you,
that they hate on, they're
ones.
Also the guys that like hate on the current movies, like saying like they're not as good as the old movies, and
those,
also
yeah,
those type of guys
best.
That like
yeah.
go there on opening night, you know, maybe dressed up, I don't know,
100%. Those are also going to be the ones that are telling their, you know, grandchildren that their era was the best. The music from their era was
right?
the best. Yeah, I know those.
Will Chamberlain was the best player I've ever seen.
Yep. We know those people. We know those people.
I'd have to say my favorite character is actually, I don't even know if there's a name, you know, a real name, but the Ewoks. The Ewoks were my favorite characters, and Return of the Jedi was my favorite one because it had like the happiest ending of all.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't see any of the recent ones. So, you know, those that are... you know, probably going to be upset at me for not seeing any of
the recent
ones.
Well, it's also, you know,
what it is.
It's also a Disney film. We also work for Disney. You know, just saying, man.
It's a good point, bro. I didn't think about that. I'm going to watch them all tonight. I love Star
you could,
Wars.
You could. They're all on Disney Plus. They're on Disney Plus today. All nine of them.
All Disney Corporation that's listening to the show right now. I love Star Wars. And I'm going to go with Greg and Adam to whatever they're going and dress up with them.
That's all I got for you, brother.
All right, Funch. Appreciate it, buddy. Okay, let's do this. We're only a few minutes away. 8:30. I am going to – I know I kind of mentioned this a little bit earlier in the show. So the Last Dance documentary obviously brought out some just amazing footage, and I know a lot of Laker fans are appreciative of. Jeff Zilgit, USA Today, Jordan-Kobe relationship, make the Last Dance an emotional episode. He's coming up in about 10 minutes or so. When we come back, I just want to get into one more thing that Magic Johnson referenced to, and then also Jordan's first Nike deal. that I thought was fascinating yesterday. So we'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. All right, as always, we appreciate you guys tuning in. Whether you're tuning in your car or you're on the app, you can always feel free to call in 877-710-ESPN. So I want to hit on this real quick because part of that documentary yesterday, before I get into the Kobe Jordan, we're going to have, as I mentioned, Jeff Zilgit, USA Today, Jordan Kobe relationship, Make the Last Dance, an emotional episode. Great piece in the USA Today. So we'll do that coming up here in a few minutes. But one of the things that stood out to me yesterday too, how cool was it to kind of get behind the scenes with Jordan's first deal with Nike? Just the way that kind of relationship, how it happened, how it progressed, their projections, Nike's expectation. At the end of year four, they hope to sell 3 million of Air Jordan shoes. And in year one, they sold 126 million. What? I mean, think about – I was trying to explain this to Mason and Ireland. I was trying to ask them, like, what athlete do you know that's more synonymous with a corporation? What athlete do you know where you, when you think of that athlete, it's like, oh, yeah, yeah, Jordan. Now, of course, you know, Nike, Jordans, which ended up being it's a brand in its own. I think I read something earlier today that in 2019, Jordans on its own surpassed $1 billion in a quarter of revenue. So Michael Jordan made Nike. I don't think that's too far-fetched to say. Can you say another sports athlete made a company? In 2019, Tiger Woods earned $42 million from endorsements. He has endorsements with Bridgestone, Monster Energy, Nike, TaylorMade. But he didn't make any of those companies. LeBron James takes home $52 million from deals with companies. Nike, Coca-Cola, specifically Sprite, Beats by Dre, Kia Motors. But those companies were around well before LeBron. Roger Fidel's earnings, he has a deal, reported $300 million deal over 10 years with a Japanese clothing company called Uniqlo, if I said that right. These are all, you know, humongous endorsement deals. But Jordan freaking made Nike. And I love that backstory behind it. And when you hear Nas come up, you know, Funches and I are both big Nas fans, and I know those who love hip-hop love Nas. What that time, that moment, what Jordan's meant to that culture, Justin Timberlake comes on, Spike Lee is producing the commercials. I mean, I don't know if we're going to get a moment like that where a player literally makes a company. Funch, can you think of anything like that?
No, not at all. But I was going to say, like, you know, we're around the same age. Like, you remember, like, mm-hmm. growing up, like, how bad every kid our age wanted Jordans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and listen, I'll tell you one thing. If my family did consistently for me, they never got me them. You know, so that
oh,
was.
Oh, yeah, me too. Me yeah. too, man.
I got
my first pair of Jordans after high school.
I was like, all right, cool. No, we'll go back to those Reeboks. I'm down for the Reeboks, Mom. No, but I'm with you. Like, there was that moment, I just thought, how can you have this 10-part documentary and not give this background on the Jordans? That was such a critical piece, I thought, yesterday, because. Still to this day, Jordans are just something special. That started back in 1984. All right, more about Jordan and Kobe's relationship. Jeff Zilgit from USA Today talked about how the Last Dance episode was a very emotional episode, and I couldn't agree with him more, that relationship between Jordan and Kobe. That conversation is coming up next. Thank you for tuning in. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. Hi, welcome back to Lakers Talk. Great article right now in the USA Today. Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant relationship detailed in an emotional episode of The Last Dance. I got Jeff Zilgit, who wrote the article and is a part of the show. Jeff, thanks for joining the show.
Nah, thanks for having me. Hope you're doing well, all things considered.
Thank you. You as well. I know. You know, we've been watching this Last Dance. That's three Sundays in a row, and. It's actually kind of interesting because there's a lot of Laker tie-ins, and yesterday was especially one of those tie-ins. Of course, the late, great Kobe Bryant. I just ask you, in your article, before you even wrote the article, were you surprised how close Kobe and Jordan were? Did you have any idea that they were this close, or do you feel like a lot of the public has found that out over the last couple of months?
To be honest, I think the public has found out over the last couple of months, and even going back to the February memorial or celebration of life for Kobe and Gianna and the others, but that was the first time, you know, that I had heard not only the detail of the relationship, but it was really the first time I had heard Michael Jordan go into depth about their relationship. You know, you figure superstars in this league have some kind of relationship, how close it is, or, you know, we don't always know. But it was clear listening to Michael Jordan talk that day that the two of them, Kobe and Michael, had established a relationship. It carried on beyond the game of basketball. And there were frequent phone calls and texts between the two. And Michael Jordan certainly illuminated that and referring to Kobe as his little brother during that celebration of life. And so that was really the first time I think a lot of us had really heard the detail. Now, I think those close to Michael, those close to Kobe, obviously Vanessa Bryant, she knew of it and others knew of it. But I think that was the first time that, you know, the larger public was alerted to it. And the other thing, just real quick on that point, is, you know, we don't see Michael Jordan in public very often, and I'm not counting this Last Dance documentary as a public Michael Jordan. But, you know, covering the NBA, I think the last time I had any kind of access with Michael was when Charlotte was rebranding a few seasons ago, and they put together a couple media sessions, one for local media, one for national media, to have a few minutes with Michael in a Q&A. And, you know, that's not the kind of thing he does. And then the second part of that, you know, not only do we not see Michael very often in public, we don't get to see him be that emotional very often, if ever. And, you know, the combination of all those things really spotlighted that relationship.
Yeah, Jeff, it's I think that's what I walked away from. And I was there, you know, at that that celebration slash memorial for Kobe Bryant, for Gianna Bryant, and the other seven that passed on January 26th, and I think the one I walked away with many things, but one of the things that stuck out with me most was when, you know, Jordan said that he felt like he lost a part of him, right? Like we lost Kobe Bryant, and he felt like he lost a part of you know, himself. That was kind of one of those moments where you've never felt Jordan be so, maybe vulnerable is not the right word, but so open to just kind of letting go of how he really, really felt. And I think you get that reminder yesterday as well, that when you're watching some of that all unfold, and even though it's the 1998 All-Star game, it was a relationship that was just starting between these two greats.
Well, look, I don't want to go too much on it, but when Michael says a piece of me died, when Kobe died, I think, you know, that really opens a window. And you talk about the emotional side there. Look, Michael started crying and had the wherewithal to even make a little joke about the crying Jordan meme and everything. But, you know, again, it was obvious the relationship was special. And the flip side of that, what we never really got to hear until last night in that episode, and that's why I felt it was such an emotional gut punch. And I want to give credit to the proper person today when I saw him tweet it. I want to say it was Jamal Crawford who said it today, but it's really hard to believe that Kobe isn't here today. And watching that last night and seeing, you know, which I believe to be a relatively recent Kobe Bryant interview. Now, was it a year ago, 2 years ago? It was certainly, you know, post Mike or post Kobe playing days. And just to see that and to see a glimpse of Kobe talking about Michael really brought that emotional side of it home.
Jeff Zilgit, USA Today, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant relationship detailed in an emotional episode of The Last Dance. You can find that article right now on the USA Today. Another thing, and, you know, when I say what Jordan said, and I want to go with what Kobe said yesterday, what you got from me is him. I don't get five championships here without him because he guided me so much and gave me so much great advice. When you heard that yesterday, what came to your mind?
Well, I thought of that. And look, there were times where, even in that episode, we hear Bob Costas at that All-Star game in 98 say, you know, in the foreground is Kobe Bryant, who many say is going to be the next Michael Jordan. And throughout Kobe's career, look, they play the same position. There was a lot of same swagger. I know there's a huge debate going on these days about what killer instinct actually means, but you know, certainly if we want to just drill down a little bit further and talk about the Mamba mentality that Kobe had, there was a win at all costs, and if sometimes that meant alienating teammates, that certainly happened. And so there was that part of it that stuck out to me. And then the other little story that Kobe shared about, you know, having the understanding that to be great in this league, sometimes you do need some advice and input. And so he had no problem when Michael Jordan offers up, hey, give me a call anytime. Kobe took advantage of that, wanting to know questions about his footwork, his fadeaway jumper in the post, stuff that we saw Kobe over the years perfect as he got older. And Kobe acknowledged, you know, we think of Kobe as the NBA superstar, and he certainly, you know, did that during his NBA career, but Kobe also acknowledged the first couple of years were a little bit difficult for him. But, you know, I don't think a lot of us, have it, you know, oh, look, those of us who watched it know it, but Kobe was not a starter in his rookie year. And that's something, it's hard to sort of grasp that concept today when you think of how great Kobe Bryant was during his basketball career. And he acknowledged the first couple of years of his career weren't easy. And also, you know, Kobe, we forget this, Kobe wasn't a number one pick. He wasn't a number two pick or number three pick coming out of high school, you know. And so, you know, he did have it a little bit difficult then, and he wanted to work on his craft, and he knew going to Michael Jordan would help him do that.
Well, Jeff, and I mean, kind of think about this too. One of the things I love about this 10-part series that we've watched six episodes of, I love that portion when it's showing Jordan at North Carolina, and he's with Dean Smith, and he's with James Worthy and Sam Perkins, and Jordan is getting this. He's getting these lessons where Kobe never got that, and I kind of explain what I mean on this. Kobe never got that because he went straight from high school to the NBA, and by the time he got to the NBA, not that it was extremely uncommon for high school players to jump in the league. We saw Kevin Garnett do it. We saw some other players that obviously jumped straight in there. But Kobe was doing things at such an incredibly young age. Like you even mentioned, he wasn't a starter when he first came into the league, or that first year where he had those air balls against Utah. He probably did realize, Kobe, at a young age, I got to learn from some of the greats, and Jordan was there. Jordan was a tool that he can use, and when it went from aggravation to asking Jordan to this absolute, he can see the passion that Kobe had. Like, that whole story is just something that you could appreciate from both guys.
Absolutely. Look, and I love the idea today of knowing that during his career, that Kobe would either call or text Michael at all hours, didn't care. You know, for the most part, he lived in different time zones. And so 11:30 Kobe time on the West Coast, he had no problem texting or calling Michael at 2:30 a.m. his time and everything. But that also, you know, again, telling the story that, you know, Michael had, in late February at Staples Center, was the whole idea then, is that then Kobe was taking it to the next level and trying to get information from Michael on how to coach his daughter and what kind of moves should he be working on and, you know, what kind of offense should we be teaching 12-year-olds and everything. And so, look, and even Michael acknowledged it was a relationship that extended beyond basketball. They also talked, you know, look, if you look at Michael's business career and the way he tried to make money from endorsements, you certainly see the blueprint. And look, Kobe's not the only one who followed it or anything, but, you know, the other things we're learning from this documentary, when we talk about the explosion of, you know, sneaker culture, you know, Jordan was at the forefront of that. And we certainly know that Kobe sneakers became and remained popular. And so there was all kinds of things that Kobe learned from Michael Jordan.
Jeff Zilgit, USA Today, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant relationship detailed in emotional episode of The Last Dance. Jeff, what are some of your other takeaways or your overall thoughts on The Last Dance? I think this certainly had a lot of hype behind it. What have you liked? What are some other things that stand out to you?
Well, look, I love the behind the scenes access that we have, both to Michael Venn as a player in 1998, because, you know, NBA Entertainment was granted that access to film him. And I do appreciate that Michael is also, there's a present day Michael addressing some of these things. And so look, and it's all been some incredible storytelling. But I'd also say a lot of the storytelling is one-sided, by and large. It's Michael's version of events, and there's no doubt about that. I think some of the Jerry Krause piling on is a little bit gratuitous. At this point, you know, we got it, you know, in the first couple episodes that, you know, Michael and Jerry butted heads for a lot of reasons, but Jerry Krause isn't around today to sort of answer to some of these things. And, you know, that's a GM who put together rosters that won six NBA championships, three-peats in the early 90s, then in the sort of mid to late 90s. And, you know, I would like to see Jordan acknowledge that. Maybe that happens on the final two nights to some degree. I think there's some revisionist history. You know, the last night I wrote a lot about Isaiah being left off the Dream Team. And, look, a lot of the reasons that Isaiah was left off the Dream Team were of Isaiah's own doing. Don't get me wrong right there. But, you know, if you look back at some of the research and books that have been written, you know, Michael says in The Last Dance last night that, you know, he was not the one solely responsible for keeping Isaiah off that team. But, you know, Michael is also on record in some books saying if Isaiah wasn't playing, then I'm not playing. And we have to realize that 92, the Dream Team, first-time NBA players are going to play in the Olympics. A showcase of the NBA. Michael's coming off his first title. His second MVP, second finals MVP. And they needed Michael Jordan on that Dream Team, without a doubt. And so, look, it's been enjoyable. Are there some flaws to it? I certainly think so. Is it an all-out documentary? I think maybe that's something, you know, for a larger discussion, because I do think a lot of this is one-sided in Michael's favor, and not everyone can counter him on some of the points he's making.
No, listen, Jeff, that's a great point. I mean, I actually said this from the beginning. After the first two episodes, the Jerry Krause portion, I was always wondering why Jerry Reinsdorf wasn't taking more heat, because at the end of the day, that's the owner, you know. So Krause, I think, has been kind of a punching bag for most of this. But like you mentioned, whether it was trading for Scottie Pippen at the draft, or it was deciding Doug Collins is not going to be the coach, let's put Phil Jackson there, or finding Tony Kukoc in Croatia, like, there was a number of different things that Krause did great. I'm curious to see what happened towards the end for Krause to leave. But interesting stuff. I mean, it's a perfect time to kind of have something like this.
No, look, it's a nice little respite. It's great for us to be able to have something to talk about. Look, real quick, Jerry Krause rolled up his sleeves, got his hands dirty. I'm not saying he's perfect in this either. And look, I would love to maybe hear a little bit more support. And real quick, when you're talking about breaking up that Bulls team, and I need to go back and do this myself, Jerry Reinsdorf told us in February at the All-Star game that they weren't going to be able to afford the players that, you know, they needed to bring back to keep that team together. I want to go back and look at some salary cap numbers and see about that. Maybe Jerry Krause's hand was forced by Reinsdorf not willing to pay the money required to keep that team together too, as we've seen in NBA history, especially over the past decade with certain franchises.
Jeff, great stuff, man. I appreciate you taking the time to do it. Jeff Zilgit of USA Today. I'm looking forward to these last four episodes, and maybe you and I can connect down the road soon. But thank you for doing this, all right?
No, thanks for having me on to talk about this.
All right, great stuff from Jeff right there. Okay, as we always do on Lakers Talk, we got our Power 5 coming up next. So Funches and I will get into our Power 5. And then I forgot all the athletes that didn't get rings because of Michael Jordan. I still got to list all those off. We'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. All right, just a couple quick reminders here. Tomorrow, starting at 6 a.m., Keyshawn, Travis, and LZ. Sedano following the morning show. Will Kane after that. Mason and Ireland will take you 3 to 6:30. 6 o'clock, I'll hop on, do crosstalk, probably get demolished by them for something that I have no idea about. And then I'll do Sliwa show from 6:30 to 9. So Sliwa show 6:30 to 9 the rest of the week, Tuesday through Friday. Hey, Funch, quick question. Have you seen L.A. Originals?
Is it the one where cartoon and
Yep.
Yes. I've heard about it. Everyone in my life is telling me to watch it, but I have not seen it yet.
Cartoon tomorrow on the Sliwa show.
Get out of here. Wow. Yeah. You know, he did tattoos for like Eminem and Dr. Dre and stuff like that.
100%. Yeah, I got a chance to watch the documentary. Jesse actually, great job on kind of lining that thing up. So cartoon on cartoon. Tomorrow's Cinco de Mayo, by the way. Did you know that?
No. Wow. You wouldn't know because, you know, people are not planning on going out and partying and stuff like that.
So Cinco de Mayo tomorrow, Taco Tuesday, you know, the whole thing. The whole thing. So tomorrow needs to be very Mexican theme. But I'll say this. So cartoon tomorrow and then Steve-O, which I'm forgetting his first name, but that's his kind of nickname too, Steve-O. I think he's going to do it on Wednesday. He was the photographer during that whole time. Watch LA Originals. It's on Netflix. It's about an hour, maybe 20 minutes. Very easy watch. Very cool to see. You know, I know this is your era, but that hip-hop scene, the Run DMC, the Cypress Hills, the exhibits, the M&Ms, the Dre's, the Corrupt, like all that stuff. Like you see that world and these two guys are all around it, the photographer and cartoonist, the tattoo artist. So it's good. It's good. You'll like it. Okay, so before we get into our Power Five, Funches, let me just list off to you the athletes that didn't get rings because of Michael Jordan, which, by the way, I did not know this. I typed that in on Google, not knowing that there would actually be articles out there that highlight everyone that didn't get rings. So they did the job for me. So listen to this, okay? I'm going to name off some. The Mark Price, Brad Doherty, Craig Elo. Those were the Cleveland.
Teams. Larry Nance, Hot Rod Williams, Ron Harper on that team. Oh, my goodness, there you go. Man. There was packed.
Okay. Then you got the Knicks teams. So think of Charles Oakley, Patrick Ewing, John Starks, Anthony Mason.
Charles Smith, Xavier McDaniel. Oh, man. Okay. So many guys.
Okay, so many guys. And I know, you know, some of these players are role players. Other players are key guys. But you know the drift of what I'm getting at here, okay? Think of that Seattle Supersonics team, okay? Detlef Schrempf, Sean Kemp. Remember, Gary Payton only got one. Where'd he get his? In Miami?
Miami, yeah, that's right. That's right. The Shaq team.
He was chasing rings, you know, towards the end of the career and eventually got one. Let's keep going down that list. Reggie Miller, Mark Jackson, Rick Smits. That Indiana Pacers team was never able to get one.
And that was a good team, too. Really good team.
Was never able to get one.
Made it to one finals versus the Lakers and got blown out.
There you go. Okay. And then even players like Dikembe Mutombo, like just looking at that 90s era, some of those players that were influential but still never got a ring. And then, of course, John Stockton, Karl Malone, and Charles Barkley.
Oh, man. Hall of Famers. First ballot.
Think about that list. Think about that list. These are all players that never got a chance to win NBA championships because of Michael Jordan. So it's an impressive list, but it's also interesting to look at it because we always talk about Jordan winning. We forget all those teams that he either beat or they never got to the finals because Jordan was in the way in the Eastern Conference. Okay, with all that said, let's do our Power Five. Okay, Power Five. This is what we'll do, Funches. Top five storylines from The Last Dance. So think of all, we've had six episodes. We've had some terrific, terrific, not just stories, but in-depth conversations, things we didn't know. So think about all those, and we'll go through our top five. So let's start with number five for Funches. Funches, what do you got at number five?
Number five for me, it has to be all the Air Jordan shoes that we've been seeing in the past six episodes. I mean, we saw some Air Jordan 1s last night that Michael played in his last MSG game. Also, we saw some 3s and 4s, some nice Olympic 6s last night, too, as well.
Okay, my number five –
Bulls-Pistons. Just Bulls-Pistons. Like, the two times the Pistons beat the Bulls, and then the time that the Bulls beat the Pistons to finally grab their first NBA championship, eventually beat the Lakers to win it, there's been a lot of freaking storylines behind the Bulls and the Pistons. I think that's been an entertaining storyline that even when the documentary is over, people are still talking about. What's your number four?
Number four for me is all the Kobe stuff from last night. I mean, just hearing his voice and talking about his idol and how, you know, you see MJ in a locker room during an All-Star game talking about that little Laker kid who wants to get at me, you know? It was just so heartwarming to see, and it made me sad and smile at the same time.
Okay, number four for me is this Jerry Krause stuff. I guess I just didn't know the whole story. You know, like I don't know. I guess back then I wasn't really paying that much attention to it. But Jerry Krause is getting a lot of run. Like I mentioned to you earlier, I'm very curious to see what happens over these last four episodes. So hopefully, there's a little bit more of a story of why the Bulls dynasty ended. What's your number three?
Number three for me is last night too, the 92 Olympic stuff. Anything with the Dream Team, I mean, I'm with. I'm just so fascinated with this team when you get, you know, 11, 12 of the greatest players in the world together with no egos or whatever, and they make sure, you know, they do something good, you know, has won, they bring home the gold.
You know, one memory that sticks out to me, this is going to be my number three. Remember after Jordan beat the Bulls and there's that photo of Jordan embracing Magic.
Yeah.
And he's very emotional about it. And it was the first time Jordan, you know, he got that monkey off his back.
Exactly.
Bird had his rings. Isaiah had his rings. Magic had his rings. Jordan didn't have his. I thought that was an iconic moment. And the fact that Magic was in the mix of that too, that was special. Yeah.
And the fact that he won it at the old Forum too, man.
That SOB. Number two, what do you got at number two?
Number two for me was last week's two episodes. It was all the Dennis Rodman stuff. Dennis Rodman saga, you know, just, you know, coming up from the Bad Boys and then, you know, going crazy. Madonna sort of changed his life. And also, you know, Michael Jordan knocking on his room or Carmen Electra in his bed to come to practice. All that stuff. Fascinating.
You think Dennis Rodman would pick Orlando or Vegas? Okay, my number two, because I know we're running out of time. I think Scottie Pippen's story is a very unique story. I feel like he's one of the underdogs in the NBA, so I like his story. What's your number one storyline so far?
Number one for me is just something short and simple. Is just the way Michael Jordan curses. He's even good at that, Alan. He's even the best I've ever seen at that.
That's awesome. My number one, Kobe yesterday, you know, just I thought that was special to see Kobe, and even saying that he credits Jordan with all the advice that he gave, that has a big part to do with his championship. So my power five, I got that Kobe Jordan relationship as my number one. So it's been a remarkable, remarkable six episodes, still four episodes left. So I'm looking forward to that. That's our power five right there. Just a quick reminder, as I mentioned to everybody, tomorrow morning, tune into Keyshawn, Travis, and LZ. They'll get things started for 710 ESPN at 7 or at 6 a.m. in the morning. And then the rest of the lineup, you guys know. We got Sedano, we got Will Cain, Mason and Ireland, and then the Sliwa Show follows after that. If you miss any part of the show, download the show on the ESPN app or on iTunes. It's all under the Lakers Talk channel. If you want to hit me on Twitter, you could hit me at Alan Sliwa. LA, greatly appreciate it, and have a great rest of your night.